Warning. According to the Surgeon General, women should not drink alcoholic beverages during pregnancy because of the risk of birth defects. Consumption of alcoholic beverages impairs your ability to drive a car or operate machinery and may cause you to become confused as to what liquids you should drink and liquids that you shouldn't, such as liquids with volatile sensitivity to changes in temperature and or pressure, liquids that require two mechanical seals to stay put, non-lubricating liquids that produce gases and or solids that may or may not be abrasive, liquids that are seriously goddamn sensitive to agitation, liquids that react with each other to form a solid, which is an absolute nightmare, take it from Sick Puppy, or limitlessly lubricating liquids, a nightmare at the other end of the spectrum. Take it from Spoon. And lastly, anything at all consumed by the boys at
shouldidrinkthat.com.
Hey, everybody, this is Sick Puppy.
This is the Most Reverend Father Spoon.
Coming at you with episode 61 for shouldidrinkthat.com.
Where even if it's crap,
we drink it.
So you don't have to.
That's right, brother.
This is a real special episode that we have going on. For those of you who are unfamiliar with what's been going on in Pennsylvania lately, there were a lot of beer busts out in Philadelphia. The other side of the state from us, out here in Pittsburgh.
Ridiculous. So beer raids.
Yeah, so basically what happened is Pennsylvania's got this thing where you have to register your beers, and the list is so archaic that there's typos. It's disgusting. There's beers that were paid for and registered, but they're not listed. So there were three bars in Philadelphia that got busted, all owned by the same people. And basically it turned into a big old cluster. The PLCB and the BLCE and all these people or whatever came in. They raided these establishments, took their beers, $7,200 worth, I believe.
And yeah, that's correct. $7,200.
So we thought we would get to the bottom of this because there's a lot of people outside of Pennsylvania that have heard rumors about what's going on, but they don't know all of the facts yet.
Sure. And this has happened in other states, but this is a big deal here recently in the Pennsylvania area.
PA's laws are really screwed up.
That's very archaic.
Yes, archaic's the big word for Pennsylvania. You feel like you're still in prohibition with some of these rules, and it's flat out ridiculous. So what we did is we sat down with Lou Bryson today. We've got a great conversation coming up for you guys to listen to. We're just going to play it through.
Yeah, right on. Before we do that, though, Spoon, let's crack a beer, shall we?
One of the beers on the list, which is surprising everyone. Now, this will give you a prime example
we
of what's happened.
Contraband.
Contraband, yes. Puppy, what's the first beer of the evening?
Duvel, or Duvel, depending on how you want to pronounce it. They're actually both correct. Duvel, or Duvel, is a Flemish word for devil.
Ah.
And the Flemish pronunciation is Duvel. And the French pronunciation is Duvel. So either way, you are correct.
Now, if you look at the list, which the PLCB puts this list online, and they've actually come out and said, don't go by the list. Whatever, it's meaningless. But yet they're still using it to go after these people. So this beer is listed on there now. We just checked it. It is actually updated. But it's listed as Duvel beer, or Duvel beer.
Right.
Not Golden Ale, or Belgian Golden Ale. So when these people were going in to raid, they didn't know what they were looking for. They were uneducated when they went in, and they started to confiscate it. But it's on the list. But since nobody knew about craft beer, they didn't realize it's the same beer. And that's where the problem started.
Surprise, it's your government.
So here you go. Enjoy. Sit back. Open some contraband beers while you're at it. And let's go. Hey, everyone. This is Father Spoon from ShouldIDrinkThat.com. I'm sitting here with Lou Bryson, author of Seen Through a Glass, Why the PLCB Should Be Abolished, and the now very popular Facebook group, Abolish the PLCB, Rewrite the Code. Lou, thank you for joining me. I checked before I left the house today. Currently, you're at 3,500 fans. And how long has the group been around?
A little over 3 days. I think it was noon today. It would have been 72 hours.
That's a lot of people. Wow. So the reason why I'm talking to Lou and for why this episode is being put out is basically there's a lot of stuff happening in Philadelphia right now, and I figured what better person to talk to than the man who's closest to the situation, next to the people that got busted.
Indeed.
Is Lou. So, Lou, if you could tell everyone a basic overview of everything that's happened in the last week and a half, 10 days.
Wow. Well, condensing, Thursday a week ago, can't remember the date. We can fill that in. I don't know. Anyway, there was there were three simultaneous raids in Philadelphia. I'm not being dramatic by using the word raid. There were over a dozen Bureau of Liquor Control Enforcement agents involved. They were armed. They came into three bars, all owned by Brendan Hartranft and Lee Maida, all three quite successful craft beer bars that have opened within the last 2 years, and came in. They were following up on a complaint about the bars serving unregistered beer brands. They found beers that were not on the Pennsylvania list of registered brands. They also confiscated beers that were on the list. Some of that was misunderstanding. Some of that was just an effect of there's over 2,500 beers on the list, I believe. And, you know, some of them, like, for instance, a couple of the Rogue beers were misspelled as Rouge, R-O-U-G-E. Some of the Weyerbacher beers are listed as, like, for instance, Weyerbacher Hops Infusion, and yet some of them were listed without the Weyerbacher first. So, I mean, if you're going through them on a printed out list, trying to find it by running your finger down the column, it can be hard to find. I'm not really saying this to excuse the BLCE agents, but I mean, essentially the guys who went out to the bars were following orders. So after that happened, there was a bit of a furor. I actually found out about it the very next morning. Went down to Memphis Tap Room, one of the three bars. They were having a Pliny the Younger release, and I went down to get my Pliny, and that's when I found out they had been raided. The Pliny was not seized, even though at that time the Pliny was not on the list. A lot of people have seemed to think that the Pliny the Younger was the source of the complaint. This whole thing's been fulminating a lot longer than that. Pliny the Younger wasn't seized at any of the three bars. Pliny the Younger was not seized at the wholesaler. The following Monday, BLCE agents raided Origlio Beverage in Northeast Philly, I think around 7 in the evening, obviously after normal business hours. They came looking for a smaller number of beers that they had found at the three bars, that beers that had been delivered by Origlio. Among them, Russian River Supplication, Monk's Cafe Sour Ale, Duvel. Now, I mean, Duvel's been in this country for 30 years. Duvel is on the registration list, however, it's on as Duvel Beer. And the label says Duvel Golden Ale. Now, I gotta admit, if I'm a BLCE agent and I'm looking at that label and I'm thinking, okay, if I don't confiscate this and it turns out that it was the wrong one, I'm screwed. On the other hand, if I confiscate this and it turns out that it really was on the list, they're screwed. So I'll confiscate it. And it was a no-win for them. But, you know, after it had already come out that Duvel was definitely on the list, they still went to Origlio, except they couldn't seize it because there was so much they would have had to bring a tractor-trailer. I don't think they had any clue how popular these beers were. They did seize the Russian River Supplication. However, it gets sillier, and I hate to use that word, but there's no other word that fits. The list itself is online. It's at the Pennsylvania Liquor Control Board's website. And you can look at the list. It's open. You can look at it. And the list was changing at least daily, if not hourly. They were scrubbing misspellings. Russian River Supplication suddenly appeared on the list. But, I mean, there were beers on the list. There were no Paulaner beers registered. There were no Hawker Shore beers registered. As you and I discussed earlier, there were no Voodoo beers registered. And I mean, these are beers that have been around and have been registered. What happened? Hard to say. Don't know. Don't know how the whole thing really works. It's a fairly simple form, and it's a $75 fee. $75 is a bit onerous for a brew pub that has, say, I mean, like 50 brands a year to register. Up until now, there's kind of been a nudge and a wink thing that's not official in any way at all, but essentially, I mean, brew pubs would register about 6 brands and just kind of, oh, well, that's that. We just changed the recipe a little. Which, you know what, to be honest, is a sensible way to do it. Anyway, that's what's been happening. The follow-up on that is that as it was being reported in our blogs, in the newspapers, on national news sources, people started backpedaling. And the... I think it was the Daily News, first Daily News story on this accumulated about 300 comments in a day, which And I don't know if you've seen newspaper websites, but...
We don't get that many comments.
No, I mean, you know, something like, Obama says that all Republicans must be shot tomorrow, might get 150. People were enraged, and it was running well over 30-1 against the PLCB. Now we've got hearings scheduled for next month, which is incredibly quick for the legislature. Hearings are scheduled for April 13th. As far as I know, specifically about this issue, don't know if it's going to be opened up at all. Two of the people testifying there's going to be representatives from Origlio. There's going to be representatives from Monk's Cafe, which is a beer bar in Philadelphia that happens to be the owner of that brand, the Monk's Cafe Sour Ale. Those two people are going to be testifying. There's going to be people from the PLCB and from the BLCE testifying as well.
Now, do we know if this is going to be televised, or can the general public go to a hearing like this?
I don't know if it's going to be televised. The government has a television thing. I assume it's something like C-SPAN.
That's what I was thinking. I know Pennsylvania usually will broadcast anything that happens with it. If there's going to be a vote, or if they're going to propose any kind of new laws, it's usually on C-SPAN or some PCN or a channel like that.
I suspect that it may show up on PCN because, one, it's a really hot topic, and two, I happen to know that a couple of the guys way up in PCN are really big craft beer fans. So I suspect that might help. The other thing, it's a public hearing. I don't know how big the caucus room is. I haven't been in it, but I'm definitely going to be taking a look at my schedule when I get back to Philadelphia and checking out. I mean, you know what? If we can get a bus and take people up, they should know that this is important to people.
They might want to consider selling tickets to this event.
Can I get that franchise?
Because with all the damage control that the PLCB is going to have to do, they might want to start recouping their losses right now by selling tickets to this. So with everything that's gone on with the PLCB and that's been made public recently, it seems like they stress more their knowledge of wines and with spirits as they do with, say, with craft beers or beer in general. Why do you think it is that all these errors happened, really? You're supposed to fill out this form, send in your $75, and you're supposed to appear on this list. Seems as simple as that. Where do you think the problem might lie, where errors were made with spellings, where people were left off?
I think what it is, you've got a system that was designed in, I believe, the latest iteration of that part of the code dates from 1987. I mean, think about it. How many brands of beer did you have in 1987?
Sure.
Maybe 500 with all the imports. And now, you know, they're swamped. And I just don't think the system, well, and I'm probably doing it at a great service by calling it a system. I don't think there is a system. I think there's some people in Harrisburg who get paper forms in and type that information into a database. Now, I mean, I got to tell you, back in the day when I was, you know, just out of college, and I took data entry jobs, and it's not easy. It's a pain. On the other hand, there appears to be very little checking on the whole thing. I really think at this point we should not be necessarily questioning how the system works. We should be seriously questioning why we even have brand registration. Why does it cost $75? I mean, I was talking to a Pennsylvania brewer who asked me, they wanted to be anonymous, just like the tipster on the complaint. I can't blame them. I mean, with the way things are going now, I wouldn't want to catch any revenge flack from the PLCB either. Told me that when he registers a brand in Maine, it's $1 for the first year, and then you're automatically registered at no cost. Now, why are we $75 every year?
Well, we have the Johnstown flood to pay for.
Yeah. you know, if we can just take a little side thing on that, the Johnstown flood tax is an 18% tax on all wine and spirits sold in Pennsylvania. And, of course, that, to get back to your original question, that's why the LCB is screwing up beer, because they don't care. They don't make money off of it except brand registration and taxes. Wine and spirits, they're selling themselves, and they want to make that as easy for people to buy more and more and more. I actually, as a whiskey drinker, I would even say that the LCB doesn't even do that job, good a job on spirits. They do a really good job on vodka. I mean, a fantastic job on vodka. Bourbon is booming like it hasn't in 30 years, and the LCB is delisting bourbons. I mean, See, this is the whole problem with a public monopoly on booze sales. Individual stores not only will make decisions based on the individual area instead of one person or even five people in Harrisburg deciding what every store in the state will have, they can also, I mean, you can decide what your store is going to be. I mean, you and I were just talking earlier about a place that has a big selection of 40-ounce malt liquors. Okay, you could do that, or you could be the guy that sells the $300 bottles of wine. You don't have to sell all of it, because when you sell all of it, there's going to be a lot of stuff you're not doing a good job on. I mean, there are superstores. Total Wine, just across the border in Delaware from Philly, comes to mind, that do have everything, but they're huge. They're like an airplane hangar. The LCB has nothing like that because, I mean, I'm looking back at stories about the LCB over the last, maybe 20 years, just looking at stuff and seeing how things have gone. And one thing you notice is the number of stores keeps going down. It's because the PLCB stores are cost centers. They're not looking at them, even looking at, I mean, everybody talks about how much money they're making off these stores. If they're making that much money off them, why are they closing them? You know, it doesn't make any sense to me.
Right.
But I think, you know, I mean, why is the PLCB not in the beer business? Well, it's because beer has a lower margin. You don't make as much off each sale. Beer often has to be refrigerated. Beer's a high volume, and they just didn't want to have anything to do with it.
Basically, it was too much of a hassle for them.
Yeah.
It's one of those products where, unlike wine, you could just put it on a shelf and forget about it, or you could keep it in the back storage area. Beer has to be taken care of. Like you said, it's got to be refrigerated. It's got to be treated properly. You have to respect it. And wine, I'm not saying that you don't respect wine or anything else, but that's just one of those products you could keep in the case in the back room, and you know what? Almost a year later, it's still the same product.
Yeah, well, actually, I understand from wine people. I enjoy wine. I've probably drunk more wine in the last 2 years than I have the rest of my life. I'm finally getting to appreciate it and know what I actually like. But wine people have told me that the LCB doesn't do a great job of taking care of wine either.
Wow.
Yeah, so.
So they're just screwing up all around the place.
Pretty much. Pretty much.
Why do you think it is that we don't have a craft beer division or even a beer division of the PLCB to regulate or to keep track of the list of beers that are coming in, the beers that are registered? Like when they had these raids, there should have been somebody on hand looking at that list saying, like the Duval beer, Golden Ale, that's the same thing.
I don't think they care. For one thing, and I'm not making a judgment about their hearts or anything. It's the money. It's not there. The money is nothing. I mean, when you look at this is one of the things that drives you insane about this raid. Okay, you're talking about let's talk about Duval. All right, you're talking about a $75 registration fee. All right, because they didn't get that $75 fee, they're holding up collecting taxes on thousands of dollars worth of beer. I honestly don't know how it makes sense. Like I said, I really think that the whole brand registration thing should be looked at. And this is one of the things that drives me crazy about the LCB. The liquor code, which is why that... Let me start over, because I'm into about four different sentences here.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Okay. The Facebook group we started is called Abolish the PLCB, Rewrite the Code. The second part is every bit as important as the first. The Pennsylvania Liquor Code, as it now stands, is so complicated that the LCB doesn't understand it. Okay? You ask somebody at the LCB, you ask somebody, a state rep, you ask somebody who sells beer, why we register brands, chances are you'll get four different answers. Nobody knows anymore. Okay? The best answer, which is scary, I'm going to tell you what it is. Again, that same brewer that I was talking to was at a meeting, I don't know, something like 8-9 years ago with the person who was then the chief counsel for the PLCB, Francis O'Brien. O'Brien said at that time, in response to a question about why there is brand registration, it's so prosecuting attorneys can prove that the empty bottle is beer in, like, drunk driving and underage drinking cases. I laughed, too, until I remembered I wrote a piece about 3 years ago about a judge in Reading, Pennsylvania, who overturned an underage drinking conviction No, I'm sorry. It wasn't the underage drinking conviction went through the guy who was given the beer to the guy who was underage, essentially supplying alcohol to a minor, overturned it because the prosecuting attorney failed to prove that Miller Genuine Draft was beer. And I mean, you know, this is the kind of thing that's just ridiculous. It redounds badly on the whole state. I mean, why should you have to prove that something's Miller Genuine Draft is beer and has alcohol in it? I mean, you know, 8-year-old kids know this. And yet you have to prove it in a court of law. And they said, that's why it's on the registration list. Well, I would argue a couple of things. One, if it's draft beer, who knows? You know, the guy's like, oh, yeah, I had a draft. I don't know what it was. It was a Well, it's not there in the car, okay? Two, if the list is so badly misspelled and disorganized and not kept up to date, what use is it? I mean, as Don Russell has pointed out on his blog, his excellent Joe Sixpack blog, this list says right on it, right on the PLCB website, that nothing on the site is to be used as evidence. So what's the point?
That was going to be my next question to you, is what is the point of the list? Because if you can't enforce it...
And
you can't use it, why did they go in after these people with this list in hand?
I think a really good question is, why did they go in after these people? Now, to be fair, there is a history. One keg of unregistered, untaxed beer, which is a different matter, and we'll get to that real shortly, did come in when... these two people, the bar owners, opened their third bar, the Resurrection Ale House in Grace Ferry section of Philly. Resurrection Ale House. And a friend of theirs owns part of Brewer's Art in Philadelphia, the brew pub. One of their standard beers is called Resurrection Ale. He gave them a keg. And, okay, they now admit it was a bad decision. It was a stupid decision. They went down, picked it up, and put it on tap the first day because it was Resurrection, da-da-da-da-da. Yeah. Well, either somebody turned them in or, I mean, they spoke about it openly just because they thought it was cool, Resurrection, yeah-da-da, and the LCB sent them a warning. Didn't even, as I understand, didn't even cite them. I mean, I've seen the letter, and it's a warning, like, you know, don't do this again. So they do have a history of serving unregistered brands. You know what? If you go by that list, practically every bar in Philadelphia has a history of serving unregistered brands. So that's what that's one of the things they were saying, why they did this raid. They had a complaint, and if they have a complaint, they have to follow it up. Well,
so why didn't they just go in with a person holding a clipboard?
Bingo.
Instead of, you know, the undercover police or plainclothes police coming in and basically raiding the place. I mean, that's what they did. They raided the place.
Yep.
Whereas they could have just pulled the manager or the owner aside and said, show me your stash. Here's what you don't have registered. You know, here's what's not registered that you're serving. We'll be in touch. Instead, they come in during lunch, scare everyone away, basically.
Well, I think mostly people were amused. From what I understand, people really took it fairly lightly.
Well, there was a free lunch involved, I believe, for most of the people there.
Yes, right? yes. Free round of beer, I believe. Free round of beer.
Registered or unregistered?
Well, you know, I think buying a free round might actually be against the regs, but...
Wasn't Hacker, though.
You're right, so it doesn't matter.
What did they leave behind?
Well, see, that's the thing. I still can't believe that they did leave behind the Pliny the Younger.
Yeah.
Because it ain't on there. They did see some kegs, which, you know, if they kept them more than 3 days unrefrigerated, I wouldn't want to put them on if I were the bar owner. I mean, why didn't they send in a guy with a clipboard? Why didn't they send in a guy with a clipboard with a digital camera? You know, you go in, whatever's not registered, take a picture of it, have them sign a form, take their check for $75. Although, see, that gets into an even weirder area. The bar is not responsible. The bar is not, retailer's not the people who are supposed to be registering these brands. The wholesaler is not who's, it's supposed to be the brewer, importer, or their franchised agent. Who is supposed to register the brands. Now, unfortunately, if the retailer is then caught with them, it is considered contraband. And that's actually the word that's used in the code.
Wow.
And it has to be seized and destroyed once it's been determined that it is indeed unregistered.
So it's prohibition?
Yeah.
All over again.
Yeah, for a $75 fee.
So all those pictures that we saw from back in the the early 1900s of guys there with their axes smashing all those kegs is basically what's happening.
They wait a few months before they smash them, but yeah. Yeah, they don't actually smash them there in the bar, which is really too bad. It'd make great theater. Yeah.
Imagine all the people with camera phones whipping those ones out. And,
yeah.
And again, that would be perfect publicity, though.
Yeah.
Imagine all the attention your bar would get.
Well, this is the only problem I have with the hearings taking as long as they will. They're going to come up with all kinds of reasons that they did it, and they're going to come up with all kinds of solutions as to how they can make sure it won't happen again. And the legislators are going to yell at them for a while and then pat them on the head and say, go, don't do this anymore. Do it better next time. And nothing will change. And that is why I really do want to take a busload of people up there. I want people to write their legislators and tell them this needs to change, not be fixed or improved. You can't fix it. It's broken.
It's not just, hey, Timmy, don't do that again.
Right.
We need to fix the situation.
We need to have it not happen again at all. We don't need this to, like, not happen again for 10 years. I mean, and it's just unfortunately appropriate that this happened just before Philadelphia Beer Weekend. You know, this little run-up thing that we're having to Philly Beer Week in June. A lot of events going on this weekend. If I was a bar owner, I'd be nervous about having a one-off beer in my bar right now.
I honestly think, and this is also from reading all the comments on Twitter and on Facebook, especially in your group too, that I think that, actually I'm pretty confident to say that Philly Beer Week is going to be huge this year.
Oh, yeah. You're
going to get so much support from fans all over the place because of this.
We went to dinner at Memphis Saturday night, and the place was jammed. You know, everybody was there. Everybody's like, oh, yeah, we're out supporting.
So you've seen the crowds in general you've heard of have been pretty strong supporting everyone because of this?
Very much so. Very much so. It's just, over 3,000 people in 3 days on the Facebook group. And I mean, I know when I started the group, well, at one point when we started the group, we were getting a new member every 30 seconds. People just signing on, ding, 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 ding. I only sent out about 70 invitations when I started the group. So this is, and it's a chain reaction. We're getting people signing on from out of state just, you know, because they love drinking beer in Pennsylvania.
I'm proud to say I believe I was number 6.
Nice.
Out of the people. As soon as I saw that group, I'm like, this has to be from Lou. Who else would do this right now? And it blew up within 20 minutes. Then I saw you're up to 30 people, and then it kept growing bigger and bigger. And even this morning, I sent it out to over 150 people in my group. I said, nice. You guys have to find out about this. And I noticed a lot of the people that weren't members yet were bar owners, were people that have craft beer shows. So everybody needs to know what's going on right now. And the main reason why we decided to do this show is we have a lot of fans out in California who are asking us what the heck is going on.
Right.
We're reading all this stuff on Beer Advocate and Rate Beer. What's the deal? So we figured, what the heck? We got to do something. The world needs to know the deal with Pennsylvania. There's always jokes about the laws. Well, now everyone can finally see just how archaic these things are.
Yeah, I mean, I would really like to see these hearings go deeper than this particular incident. I'd like to see it go wider than just brand registration. I really am concerned that it's going to be very superficial. I would like the whole thing to be examined. I don't think it's going to be. It's going to be at most, should we continue with brand registration? Most likely, I think it's going to be, how can we make brand registration work better? There is no need to make it work better. I mean, what happens? The beer comes into the state, the taxes are paid, there's paperwork coming in, then into the wholesaler. Then going out of the wholesaler, there's more paperwork. Okay, you essentially, when you get a license, you are agreeing that you will agree that you will conform to these requirements. All right. If they come in and they find beer that has come through without that paperwork being done on it, they should nail you because the state's getting cheated out of taxes, and that's what this is really all about. I'm not a big fan of paying taxes on booze. But, you know, Pennsylvania's beer taxes are some of the lowest in the country. I think we're tied for third lowest. I don't have a problem with that. That's fine. That's great. I think the state monopoly on selling wine and spirits is ridiculous. It is a prohibition hangover. It's practically Stalinist. I think it should go away. The beer situation, I'm not that bad with. If we get rid of the case law, if we loosen things up on where beer could be sold, if we got rid of brand registration, that would be good. But I'd really like to see the whole thing taken down.
So you had mentioned that Pennsylvania has the third lowest beer tax in the United States. Yet whenever we travel to other states, it seems like Pennsylvania seems to charge more for beer as than, say, Ohio. Do you know why that might be? Do we have additional taxes that go onto beer when it comes into the state? Or, you know, what could be a possible reason for this? For instance, if I go over to Ohio, I could buy a bomber of Arrogant Bastard for $4.50 or $4, whereas in Pennsylvania, the lowest I see it is $6 to $7.
A couple of things. First, where are you buying your single in Pennsylvania?
Six-pack shops, usually. Okay. Bottle shops.
They're actually dealing with another layer of markup. Because in Pennsylvania, you're going through the wholesaler, and then for it to get to the bottle shop, a lot of times you're also going through the importing distributor. I can't even keep this straight. If you're getting... Six-pack shops in Pennsylvania are essentially bars that have chosen to make a business out of selling six-packs. They have either a tavern license, a restaurant license, a deli license, whatever you want to call it. They're buying their beer from a distributor rather than a wholesaler. It's another layer of markup in. You also have the additional overhead of maintaining the bar, of the extra license. Bar license costs a lot more than a distributor's license usually. And again, it varies from county to county. There are counties where you can pick up a bar license for $15,000 in Pennsylvania. There are counties where it'll cost you over $300,000 because the licenses are transferable. The state issues so many per, I think, 3,000. It's one license per 3,000 population at some point. But there's so many excess licenses on top of that, it doesn't even fit that anymore. It's always in flux. So in counties where the population is growing, like Chester County outside of Philly, I think is still the fastest growing county in the state, liquor licenses are wicked expensive because the number of licenses haven't really caught up with the population. It's an affluent county, so people, they want to get a restaurant and sell beer to people because they know they'll buy it. So that's pushing up the price. If you have to buy a bar license to sell six packs, that puts the price up. The other thing, there's more places to sell beer in Ohio. There's more places to sell beer in a lot of these states because people make the argument that selling beer in Pennsylvania is not a monopoly because you can only own one retail beer license. There is exceptions by making various ways of interlocking businesses and family members and so on. But, I mean, you don't have, a whole chain of grocery stores being distributors. Of course, now a whole chain of... See, it just gets...
Well, now they have the cafes inside. Like, the Giant Eagles have cafes and Wegmans have cafes.
They're allowed to have a whole bunch of licenses. A distributor, which is the case store, where we buy beer by the case, they can only own one. There's a couple of small chains, but what they are is different members of the same family that all own a place, and they all have the same name. They are technically separate businesses. So, one, these guys aren't getting the buying power that Ohio is, where you can have a much larger place, even a chain of places, buying all the stuff. Two, they're going through another layer of markup. And there's a third one, and I'm blanking on it. The whole monopoly thing. The only place you can buy beer up until... what, a year and a half ago, was either a bar or a distributor. So they were able to get away with charging more. Not all of them did. Some of them, I mean, there's always differences in prices, but generally, that's what's going on.
Since we're on the topic of tax, and this has been something that's been rumored around, but I've never been able to find solid information on this, is that if you're buying beer in Pennsylvania, you're paying 81% tax on it.
No. No, it's much less than that. It's under 50%.
Okay, so along with the Johnstown flood tax and...
Don't pay that on beer.
Oh, so
that's wine and spirits.
Okay, I think that's a big misnomer a lot of people have.
Yes.
Because when we're out at, I know with a lot of the beer festivals that are going on, so people are usually asking us about the Johnstown flood emergency tax and how that affects beer, but we've never been able to get a solid answer into that. So you're saying
that...
I got
one for you. It doesn't. It's strictly on spirits and wine.
Okay, so we're looking. If you're buying beer in Pennsylvania, you're looking at less than 50%.
Oh yeah, yeah. Let's see. There's federal tax. Which is $9 a barrel for craft brewers under 50,000 barrels. And I think even like the first 50,000 barrels, if you're under 200,000, something like that. Again, it gets so complicated, I don't remember it. It's $18 a barrel over that for like the big guys. Then Pennsylvania, well, put it this way. I think on a barrel of craft beer, on a half barrel, like a half keg, of craft under the 50,000 barrel limit, you're paying, I want to say, under $11 of tax.
Okay.
It's not that bad, but I mean, you're paying sales tax, you're paying federal excise tax, you're paying really a pretty low state excise tax on beer. But then they also count in the taxes that the brewer pays on, like the taxes they pay on the barley, the taxes they pay on the packaging, the unemployment taxes they pay for their workers. I mean, they're putting everything in there, which, you know, it all is a government-sourced cost of doing business. But the latest numbers I've seen from the Beer Institute are somewhere around 44%, I think, which is still ridiculous.
It's still insanely high.
Yeah.
I think the problem was we had a lot of reporters when Allegheny County first proposed the drink tax, which was 10%, but now it's down to 7.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's
yeah, they cut us a break. They threw us a bonus. It's down to 7 now. And big savings here.
Yeah.
We still don't know where the money's going, but hey. But hey, you can ask Dan Honorato as he's running for office. Keep that in mind, Pennsylvania. That's true. You know what? We should take a look at that jet that he's probably flying around there for all of his meetings out in Harrisburg and Philly. But I digress.
Indeed. Let me, if we can talk just a little bit about the Johnstown Flood Emergency Tax. I realize it's not beer, but something needs to be said. Again, you were saying that a lot of people seem to think it applies to beer. A lot of people are saying it should be taken away. Here's the thing. If they had just been smart enough to change the name, it wouldn't piss people off, you know, because it was an emergency in 1936. But as I understand, it was all pretty much paid off in about 2 years. Not only did the tax not go away, it was raised from 10% and it's now at 18%, and it was raised in the 60s. I mean, you know, and Johnstown hasn't seen a dime of it in years. It just goes into the general fund.
So I saw the video on the JohnstownFloodTax.com website where you were talking about basically what the tax is, how it's pretty much BS now because, well, like you said, the flood was in 1936.
The emergency's over.
And there was also another gentleman on the video, I believe it was just below yours, where they asked him, do you know about the flood tax? And he said, I have no idea what you're talking about. In fact, I've never even seen any money, and he's probably been around since then.
Well, the fact of it is, practically every state has a liquor tax. Okay, right. Ours is an odd one, and not just because of the name. Most state liquor taxes and wine taxes are based on alcohol percentage and gallons. Okay, so effectively, what that means is, say a bottle of 100 proof vodka. Okay, whether it's a cheap bottle of discount brand. Or, I don't know, 100 proof, I don't know, if Grey Goose made 100 proof, if it was a 100 proof bottle of Grey Goose, the tax would be the same on all of them.
Okay.
In Pennsylvania, the Johnstown Flood Emergency Tax is an 18% tax on the cost, the price of the bottle. So your cheap bottle of bottom shelf stuff is getting a small tax. Your Grey Goose is getting taxed a lot more. So if you want to buy the cheap stuff, you know, you want to buy the Sutter Home, you want to buy the Nikolai, okay, the tax isn't bad, and actually Pennsylvania does better on things like that, and our prices, the price at the state store on stuff like that is usually right there or better than neighboring states. When you start getting into the high end, Pennsylvania is more expensive because of the way the tax is set up. I would say redo the tax and rename it, for God's sake. Yeah, so people's heads don't explode when they see that. You know?
Well, you know, we're getting close to possibly having another flood here in Pittsburgh. I don't know if you've seen the reports. Yeah. We've been in a state of emergency for 3 days, and it just started raining today. And I think all the drunk people down for the St. Patrick's Day parade are probably either going to get a really good bath, or they're going to float right down the Ohio River and into somebody else's state. So. Well, there was a quote today in the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. It actually came across the AP wire from Patrick Walters. And he has Major John Lutz from the BLCE. When it comes to the registration of the beer, the burden is really on the manufacturer to register the beer. What do you think about that?
Oh, that's right there in the law. There's no argument about that. I mean, that's what they've been saying, and yet they've been going and raiding bars and wholesalers because they're within reach. Again, a couple of things, and I just like to hold my fingers as I say them because it helps me think. The worst thing about this, I think, is the way that the BLCE allowed themselves to be used, because there's pretty much no doubt that the complainant was probably someone who was either in direct competition with these three bars or someone who had a personal grudge against the people involved. The BLCE does not, as a rule, investigate these kind of things off the cuff. The statements in the first few days after the raids were, well, somebody made a complaint, we had to follow it up.
Just for the record, it was one complaint.
As far as I know, all of what the BLCE has said would lead you to believe that it was one person complaining. They must have made more than one complaint because there were three bars involved.
So if I call the PLCB or the BLCE or
BLCE,
and I say the original O in Oakland, I saw a 40 on there that, you know what, I think it's unregistered. They're going to come in, gun storming, and raid the place.
They claim now, and again, none of this was said in the first couple of days, but in follow-up interviews, they're implying that they went and reconned first.
There's no way.
Oh, I can see. Are you kidding?
There's no way.
I got to go down to the tap room and see what they have on there.
They got that Devel. They have that Devel in bottles.
These days in Philadelphia, anybody could be a craft beer drinker. Okay, did they actually do it or not? No idea. Okay. There's been problems. There's been chatter on the beer and food blogs in Philadelphia about this unregistered keg that came in from Resurrection for months, literally months. Anytime the subject of one of those three bars or beer in Philadelphia or there was an article in the Philadelphia City Paper about the PLCB not long ago, and this anonymous comment shows up about this thing. Somebody's got a burr in their saddle, and they've been riding it, and they finally either, I don't know what, got the idea or got the guts to say something to the BLCE. Now, I was just talking to Senator John Pippy from here in the area. When was that? Wednesday? No, Thursday. I ran into him at Church Brew Works and asked him about this. I said, you know, was this an anonymous complaint? Do you know? He said, it wasn't anonymous. He said, they're keeping the name quiet. I said, how do you know? He said, because they didn't say anonymous. They said complainant. I said, if they say complainant and not anonymous tip, they know who it is. So what I want to know is, I understand that these things should be kept anonymous because that's how you encourage people to say when wrongdoing is going on. I'm not saying that this was wrongdoing, but I understand why you do that.
Plus, you also have some nutballs out there, too, that you hear somebody's name and that affects a business that you're involved with.
True.
Look at what Steeler fans did to Tommy Maddox's house. They toilet papered the thing after he fumbled a ball during a playoff game. It's no mercy. So we know people can get pretty extreme out there.
But I really think if you have a name, you ought to look into it a little bit. And as my father always used to say, consider the source. You know, if it is a rival business, I'd want to have a real high level of confidence before I go into something like that. And I'd maybe raid that guy's business in the same day. It's not honorable, I don't think, to allow the BLCE to be used like this. It was really interesting when people were complaining to the PLCB about this in the first couple of days of the Facebook group. PLCB put an automated response on that essentially said, we do not direct the BLCE. We are not responsible for them. They are not part of the PLCB. They're part of the Pennsylvania State Police, and you should complain to them. The BLCE is wholly funded by the PLCB. That's where their money, their budget comes from. Okay? The BLCE enforces the Pennsylvania Liquor Code, which, of course, the PLCB didn't write, but they are responsible for enforcing. So saying you're not responsible for what the BLCE does is a little ingenuous.
Now, I know you've been busy most of the morning. We're not going to say where we're at right now. Undisclosed location. There's people looking out for him, especially after Pippi saw Lou Bryson was hanging out at Church Brew Works. Probably called the state police. I don't know if you've had a chance to look at your Facebook page today for the group. Someone had posted on there shortly before I left my house that there is an iPhone app for a Guinness Pub Finder.
I did see that.
And Pennsylvania does not show up. It says due to state laws. Do you have any insight on what that might be that would cause, you know, what that law might be that would say you can't have a Pub Finder in Pennsylvania?
I would not be able to quote you in section and paragraph, but my guess would be that falls under inducement, which is essentially giving you something for free, an iPhone app, that encourages you to buy their product. You're not supposed to do that. I mean, and the whole thing comes down to is, what's it worth? What's it given to? Because there's set limits. I mean, you can give away a pint glass. You can give away a T-shirt. Above that, actually, I'm not even completely sure T-shirts are legit. It's a fairly low level in some places. I'm not sure what Pennsylvania's limit is, but that would be my guess, that you're giving away something free to induce people to drink your product. In this case, Guinness, wasn't it?
Guinness.
Yeah.
Wow. See, that I didn't know either. I didn't know if
there's these fences around booze, because when we came out of Prohibition, the legislatures in so many states were sure that they had just spent 13 years under the thumb of these people, because they decided who would get elected and who wouldn't. And they were scared to death that they were still just around the corner and they'd be coming back. Nobody realized they were dead. You know, I mean, 1933, 34... Prohibition didn't just stop, it collapsed. And these people had no power whatsoever anymore. The people writing the laws didn't realize that, so they essentially wrote laws to try and please them, to stave them off, to keep them satisfied. A lot of this stuff stems from that. It's just ridiculous.
Now, with everything that's happened this past 10 days, 2 weeks or so, what do you think is going to happen next? I mean, can we get this fixed?
What I would like to see, and why I really started that group, and like I said, added that second part to the name of the group, the Rewrite the Code, I really hope that we can take the rage that people are feeling right now and turn it into taking a look at what exactly the problems with liquor and beer and wine sales are in Pennsylvania. Because as I'm fond of pointing out, we always talk about the three-tier system, the manufacturer, the wholesaler, the retailer. It's a four-tier system. We're the consumer, you know? We're the consumer, we're the voter, we're the citizen, we're the taxpayer. We always get ignored. I want to see the code rewritten in Pennsylvania, and I want to see the fourth tier represented. Because I can guarantee you, if it should happen that the code gets rewritten, the legislators will be in on it. The wholesalers and the brewers and the retailers will be in on it. You'll probably even get people like MAD and even church groups in on it. But one thing I can guarantee you, unless we do something, there will be no consumers there. And we're the people who are affected by it the most.
It's our money that's funding everything.
Indeed. Indeed. If we don't buy the stuff, nobody stays in business.
There was one other comment that Patrick had made, and this came from him in his writings. State regulators say it is a simple matter of making sure bars and beer manufacturers aren't scamming the system when it comes down to the registration list. Isn't it more of the PLCB and the BLCE that's pretty much scamming us by making us think that, you know, you're coming in and taking our beers that are actually registered, and now you're saying the list doesn't really matter?
Okay. There have been a couple suggestions on this thing. One, that every time a bar takes delivery of beer from a wholesaler, they should call the PLCB and say, I'd like to check to make sure these beers are registered. Okay. When 25,000 licensees start calling every Thursday, it's going to end real quick. I do not understand how they can be responsible, even suggested to be held responsible, for something that is not their responsibility under law. These beers were all bought in good faith from a wholesaler. The wholesaler, in good faith, bought them from the importer, manufacturer, whoever. Taxes were being paid on this. Nobody suggested that the taxes were not being paid. We keep hearing that brand registration, one of the reasons you'll get is it's for tax collection purposes. Show me how. The taxes are already being paid. They're being paid every time. The only time they would not be paid is if somebody brought a beer in from across the state lines. Well, I got news for you. Even if brand registration is working perfectly, that could still happen. You know, I mean, somebody could go across the state lines and bring in a beer that's registered. It has nothing to do with tax collection. The only people responsible here should be the manufacturers or their franchised agents and the state. If we're going to keep doing this system, those are the people who should be responsible for this.
I've never gone across state lines to buy a bottle of beer.
Never.
Never. What surprises me, too, and this has started to become a concern of mine, too, and I'm just throwing this out there. We might not even use this. When I go to Ohio to buy, how do we know there's not a state cop right there watching PA plates?
I have been told that since about 1994, the BLCE has had their enforcement priorities rearranged to put that at the bottom of the list. That's what I've been told. However, the law is still in the books. They could start enforcing it tomorrow. That's what some of the legislators have been talking about with, in this case, the brand registration stuff, been talking about reprioritizing where this ranks in stuff that the BLCE should be enforcing.
Like Boardman, Ohio has Vintage Estates up there, and they were rated as the number one beer store in the world. And that's only a 30 to 45 minute drive from Pittsburgh. And there's not, when we were up there, of course, you know, just perusing, not purchasing. The place was filled with Pittsburgh people. We met people from Gibsonia. There's a few from Altoona, and everyone was stocking up. And we know what they were doing. Everybody knows what they were doing. The store didn't care, and there's nothing can stop.
This is my proof that the state store system sucks. You always see Pennsylvania plates in the parking lot at Total Wine down in Delaware. You never see Delaware plates in a state store parking lot. They don't come here to buy anything. You know, why would?
Well, yeah, why would you come to Pennsylvania to buy?
There's less selection, the service sucks, and most of the prices are higher. There's a good reason.
I think West Virginia furnished all the booze for my wedding. All right, so in closing up here, Lou, do you have any final thoughts of everything that's been going on or anything else that you would like to say?
No, not really. I think we covered it. I mean, my only real desire here is that I really don't want to see it end with this. I mean, this is not even the tip of the iceberg. I mean, icebergs, they tell us 1/9 is sticking out of the water and the other 8/9 are down below. It's much, much more than that. Brand registration is just a tiny little bit of the crap that is contained in the state liquor code. It is so complex, lawyers can't understand it.
I got a tear in my eye. I got a tear in my eye. This is beautiful. All right, Lou, thank you very much. Everyone, go and check out his websites. There'll be links to it off of shouldidrinkthat.com. It's Seen Through a Glass, Why the PLCB Should Be Abolished, and my new favorite Facebook group, Abolish the PLCB, Rewrite the code. All right, Lou, thank you very much.
Been a pleasure. Thanks, Doug.
So there you have it. That's the conversation that we had today with Lou Bryson. Wow. Just there's so much going on in Pennsylvania right now. And
that was an abundance of good information from Lou. I mean, he's on top of it.
And we're stunned at the state of alcohol in Pennsylvania.
Well,
especially
I'm not really
beer.
Stunned. I was surprised. I'm more pissed off.
Yes. And we're really trying to keep a level of coherence and civility to this
dignity.
Whole thing. And dignity to this.
It's just so ridiculous. You have to laugh at it, but you also have to take it so seriously.
Oh, absolutely. So what you have to do is contact your local representatives. There is a link off shouldidrinkthat.com on who you can go talk to. All you have to do is click the link, and it will show you the list. You put in your zip code, and it will tell you who your local representatives are. And email them. Call them. Let them know how much BS this really is. This is something we have to fight. Like Lou had said, you know, it's one thing just to stop the problem right now. You say, okay, well, yeah, you know, we had an issue. We'll fix it, whatever. No, this whole thing needs to be finished.
We cannot let this go.
This is a prime opportunity for the residents of Pennsylvania and for beer drinkers all across America, actually. Because, you know, other states are watching to see what happens in Pennsylvania to see if they can enact the same kind of rules and same kind of BS onto their constituents.
And if I may interject, Spoon.
Absolutely, sir.
Not to brag, but I just upgraded to a Droid.
Yeah.
A little Android phone. And I found this incredible app. I mean, the timing was perfect for me. You hear a lot of people out there saying, well, yeah, but I don't have the time to contact my representative. I don't even know who they are. Pathetically enough, I hear that. If you have an Android phone, and I'm not sure this is available for the iPhone, I'll have to check on that.
We're not Apple people.
Yeah.
We're not Mac people.
Yeah, definitely not. But on the Android, there's an Android app called Congress, and it goes by your locality, the GPS location.
Oh, really?
It's incredible. You can just open up the app. It'll tell you who your representatives are. It'll tell you all the new laws that they're involved in. It'll tell you the ones that are just being introduced, and you can search by state, last name, zip code. And once you find them, you can click on their contact in the app. It gives you their office number, their email.
Really?
All their contact information, like, immediately.
Talk about making it easy.
Oh, it's an incredible app. I mean, you have no excuse not to contact your representatives when you have tools like this. So check it out. If you're an Android person, definitely check it out. It's an app in the store called Congress. It's completely free. It's a wonderful app for keeping in touch and, you know, just keeping an edge on what your elected representatives are actually doing behind our backs.
So it wouldn't be Should I Drink That if we didn't give you guys some free stuff.
That's right. It's
contest time.
Kind
of brighten your spirits up a little bit. We want to make you guys feel good again.
Downer, now upper.
It's the best form of alcohol.
This should motivate you to take action.
So here's what we're going to give you guys. If you go to the shouldidrinkthat.com website, under the contest section, here's what we're giving away. Now, the deadline for this is going to be tax day, April 15th.
Oh!
Yeah, so it's going to be 2 days after the hearings and everything. What you have to do is you just go to the contest form, you fill out your name and your contact information. That's it.
And trust me, if you owe a lot of money this year, you're going to love this contest.
Yeah, this one's going to be really nice. And it's actually going to benefit people that visit the Pittsburgh area because we really want to promote craft beer in the Pittsburgh area in southwestern Pennsylvania.
Definitely.
So here's what we're doing. First off, you may have noticed we're in the March issue of Pittsburgh Magazine.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah, they did an interview with us. We're featured on page 14 of Pittsburgh Magazine. And some people might be going, hey,
can I tell you a little funny story about that real quick?
Sure.
I went to our local supermarket to check out the magazine that we were featured in. And I picked up 3 copies.
Okay.
I walk up to the register, you know, with a bunch of food and stuff for lunch that week. I lay the magazines down, and the lady looks at me, she goes, you know you have 3 of these? You know what I said? Yeah, I'm on page 14. She was like, really? Checking it out. It was surreal.
Cool. A little surreal.
It was cool.
So here's what we're doing. First of all, you're going to get an autograph issue of the March issue of Pittsburgh Magazine. We're going to sign it for you. Secondly, we're going to give you a year subscription to Pittsburgh Magazine.
That's right.
Full year. All the issues in a full year, you're going to get that.
Great magazine.
On behalf of us. But wait. Oh, there's more.
There's more.
The coup de grace of the prize package. A $50 gift certificate to Piper's Pub.
That's right.
Drew was gracious enough to give us a $50 gift card to his establishment. You might recall that in episode 60, we did a recording there, and we talked to him about his beers, about the kick-ass food that he has there.
Oh, incredible, dude.
Oh, it was fantastic.
Scottish eggs, man.
Oh, the shepherd's pie was still phenomenal.
Yeah.
I tell people about that.
Delicious food.
And I get cravings for it. So what you're going to get for just putting in your name and an email address, you know, contact information, which we will not spam you or send this out to anybody else, guaranteed. Or you can sign up for a mailing list, which would be cool. You're going to get an autograph issue of Pittsburgh Magazine, March issue. You're going to get a full year subscription to Pittsburgh Magazine on behalf of us. And Piper's Pub, piperspub.com, is donating a $50 gift card or gift certificate to their establishment. So there you go. That's a kick-ass deal.
Perfect opportunity to check out Piper's Pub, especially if you've never been there before.
Yeah, this is like a $1,000 prize package.
Ooh.
Because our autograph is worth $950. No, seriously, that's the prize for you guys.
I want to thank Piper's Pub and Pittsburgh Magazine personally for this little contest.
Fantastic. It's something you guys can benefit from. You'll find out a lot about the Pittsburgh area. The magazine's fantastic, especially since they had us. I'm just, come on. You know they have high standards. They had us. So to close out the show, here's an interview that we did this evening also with Hart from The Sharp Edge, which is one of the premier Belgian beer bars.
Belgian-specific beer bars in the Pittsburgh area.
Great food, awesome selection. Oh, my God, their Belgian selection is fantastic. People travel from around the world to go to this place.
Yeah, and their food's awesome as well.
It's so good.
My favorite one there, they have an ostrich burger.
Yes, I was about to say the ostrich burger.
It's delicious.
It's fantastic. So here you go. Here's Hart. Everyone, we're here with Hart, the cellar man from the Sharp Edge in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Welcome to the show, Hart.
Glad to be here.
So with all the news that's been going around with the whole Philadelphia beer bust, with unregistered beers and everything, we want to get more of a local opinion on how it's affecting the businesses around the Pittsburgh area, and especially with the business that you work for. You guys deal with a lot of Belgian beers. And with Duval being one of the most popular beers on that list that was not registered, but it is registered, what are you guys doing with your Duval stock? You know, are you guys still selling it? Or, you know, how's this impacting your business?
At the moment, it's not at all. We're in the situation, but, the local wholesaler, Fjord, they haven't had any interruption in their stock. They haven't been raided so far. Duval's one of our best-selling bottled beers across the board. If it does happen where Fury traded, we may be caught in the pinch, but for the moment, it hasn't affected us yet, aside from just causing me to shake my head at the state. That's a whole other ball game.
Yeah, so Hart, the question I had for you is, I know this, you guys go through Fuhrer, but are you worried that it's going to trickle down to you guys at all? I mean, they raided that bar in Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we've had this happen before, about 10 years ago. There were some bars in Pittsburgh that were complaining that we were bringing in beer that was illegitimately brought in, and we were the only people that could buy it. And they pulled a similar move. We didn't get raided, but we had a friendly visit from an LCB agent. Wasn't nearly the waste of taxpayer money that this is. But as far as what we're doing now, I don't think that we're doing anything illegal. I mean, to me, the LCB's understanding of the liquor laws and beer selection seems to be a little outdated, but there's nothing we can do about that. As far as we know, we're purchasing beer from a wholesaler. As long as we purchase beer from a wholesaler and we have invoices, what more can we do? We're not purchasing beer from some random guy in the street corner. Not that I know of. I mean, it may happen. I try to avoid it.
You want to buy some of my homebrew?
No, I've heard about your homebrew.
Oh! I'm never coming to Sharp Edge again, man.
So what are you telling customers if they come in and ask about the whole raid in Philadelphia?
My standpoint is it's a waste of money. Like I said, we had a situation about 10 years ago, and there was a simple visit from an LCB agent and said, what is the deal? Where are you getting this beer? We told them we're buying it from a wholesaler down the street. Talked to them about it, and that was the end of it. I think, a simultaneous raid on three restaurants and then raiding two wholesalers, just a glorious waste of money when it could have been handled by one agent.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. Now, when that happened to you guys 10 years back, did your wholesaler get in any trouble at all?
No, it was a legitimate brand. What we have is a good relationship with an importer, and with Global Beer Imports out of California, and they work with Vince Steberg and Petrus Breweries, and we worked out a deal where they would send us something special, and it was only 4 kegs. 4 kegs came in, they were registered, we bought all 4 kegs. It wasn't, it was limited in the sense that it was agreed upon that 4 kegs coming in, we were paying the $75 licensing, and we were getting all 4 kegs all at once. It looked kind of shady to a bar that said, they're the only people that can buy it, we want it. Well, we paid for the licensing to get it in here.
Yeah, right on.
We've also done that with our homebrew winner with the East End Brewing Company. It's, we're the only people to run that on tap, and we pay the licensing every year to make sure Scott gives it to us.
And if Scott doesn't?
Then, Scott's good. He wouldn't do that to me.
Of course not.
Well, cool, Hart. Thank you very much for your time. If you could, really quick, tell everyone the website.
The Sharp Edge website is www.sharpedgebeer.com. We're also on Twitter, twitter.com, sharp_edge. All the beer updates go up there, and I do all those. And they eventually make it to the webpage, I guess. That's what it is.
How many locations do you have around Pittsburgh?
We have 4 right now. We will have 5 by the end of summer. We're planning on opening one in the Cultural District of Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I cannot wait for that one to open up because I work right near there. So that'll be my lunch.
That's what we're hoping. We need a good happy hour and late night crowd down there is what we need.
You'll have me, man.
I don't know if all those yuppies are going to know what to do when they come out of all those musicals and plays.
Come down the street and get drunk.
All right, cool, man. Thanks a lot.
No problem.
Thanks, Hart, man.
No problem. All right.
So there you go, fans of shouldidrinkthat.com.
And craft beer everywhere.
And craft beer everywhere.
Thank you guys for listening.
We really, I mean, a lot of you guys, expect us to be crazy, silly, whatever. Which we still are, but we felt this show was just too important to pass up. This is something that we stand behind and are passionate about, and it needs to be heard. So,
I've never been really political in my life, but this is now the third thing that I've been extremely passionate about. The first thing was the Pens leaving Pittsburgh and the whole arena and the casino deal. I fought against Honorado and all those guys. I went to the marches. I did all that. Second thing, the drink tax.
Yeah.
Which we talked to Lou about the drink tax. Yeah.
Yeah.
And now this, I'm extremely passionate about this. I know Sick Puppy's passionate about it.
Yeah, big time. This is something near and dear to my heart. Not because, you guys just talk about beer or whatever. It's more than that. I don't want to get political.
It starts a whole chain reaction of events.
But this is control that
the state does not need
or should not have.
Yes.
It's an infringement on our freedom and small businesses especially. It's just too much control and it's ridiculous. These are archaic laws back from the Prohibition days and beyond that are just, they should be gone.
If you would like to leave a message for us, you can email us. Both of us will get it at webmaster@shouldidrinkthat.com. Or also we do have a hotline. It's normally the drunk dial hotline, which you can still call drunk. But also if you just want to
call us sober, man, we don't mind. Yeah.
You can call, leave us a message. The phone number is area code 412-223-7438 or 412-223-SIDT if you're on one of those old-fashioned phones with the keypads and stuff. If you honestly,
Android app and iPhone app coming soon.
It's coming very soon.
I don't know about very soon.
Coming soon.
See, we're actually geeks, so we're trying to create these on our own.
Big mistake.
Yeah.
But it's going to work.
So, there's a level of pride in that for a geek. So we're going to figure this out, and the end product should be stellar. So keep your pants on.
If you're in the Pittsburgh area, definitely get a hold of us. We'll hang out. We'll have a couple beers. It'll be cool and that.
Yeah. We'll get some confiscated beverages.
For now.
Yeah, right on.
For shouldidrinkthat.com, this is the most Reverend Father Spoon.
This has been Sick Puppy.
Or even if it's crap.
We drink it.
So you don't have to.
Even if it's not on the list.
See ya.
We out.
Bitches!